In this, the second of my chapel addresses in this second week of the second semester in the year 2020, let's talk about the word second. It's a very flexibly used word and can draw both positive and negative responses from people depending on how it's used and the words to which it is attached. As I recall from the days when I was a student here, hearing the word seconds in the cafeteria was a very happy thing to hear. Add the word win to it and you get the second win that can help you get through the second part of a day. Add the word bass and you end up with that section of the choir, the second basses, which provides the harmonic foundation for the rest. But sometimes the combinations aren't so positive. Playing second fiddle is an expression with some unfortunate overtones. Even the term second semester, though it signals a new beginning of sorts, doesn't quite have the freshness of the first. And of course, the term that probably people dislike the most involving the word second is second place. Regardless of the activity, it is common not to think very highly of second. Human nature doesn't like to be second to anything else. Everyone instinctively wants to be in first place. And it's not necessarily a bad thing to want to excel. Depending on one's motivation, it can be a very good thing to want to exceed at whatever it is that one does. What is wrong and what's out of whack is the way in which the world views greatness and the way in which it pursues being in first place. One of the great themes that permeates Scripture, of course, is this, that when it comes to greatness, the world has it completely upside down. True greatness, we are told, is not acquired by propelling oneself into first place. It's not found in those who view themselves as second to none, but as those who view themselves as second to all, or servants to all. Our text found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 43 and 44, is where we hear the Lord say this: "Whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first will be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." This familiar declaration of the Lord came at the time when the brothers James and John revealed something that they had envisioned for themselves, namely being in first place. In response to Jesus' invitation to hear what they had in mind and what they wanted, they said, "We want you to grant that one of us sit at your right hand and the other on the left when you come in your kingdom." And they weren't alone in their thoughts. In the previous chapter, all the disciples were involved in the dispute as to who among them was truly the one that was great. And of course, we all only have to look as close as our own hearts to see that same contentious, quarrelsome, and haughty spirit at work. The human nature with which we are born is convinced that true greatness is to be found in all those things that the world considers to be great: a higher IQ than someone else, a higher score on a test or in a game, a higher account in the bank, a higher level of fame. The society in which we live believes the only way to really get into first place is to push everybody else into second. And this misconception is what prompts all sorts of nasty activities. Isn't it a misconception of greatness that leads, after all, to a ridiculing of others? Our flesh puts down other people in the misguided belief that that will somehow raise the stature of oneself, not realizing that when we put other people down and cut other people down, we're only showing how small we really are. Isn't it a misconception of greatness which leads to deep disappointment? Those who base a sense of well-being on the kind of temporary things just mentioned set themselves up for the rude awakening that human intelligence, skill, influence, money, fame, all of that go away and can go away just as quickly and easily as they came. And when they're gone, so is the false sense of being in some kind of first place. It's so fragile. It's against this backdrop of misunderstanding that Jesus spells out the marks of true greatness. He reveals that the one you're going to find in first place is the one who has placed himself or herself in second. A truly winning attitude is a serving attitude, as was put on perfect display by Jesus himself. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Jesus, of course, does have the rightful claim to first place in everything that's positive and great. He is the greatest. He is the strongest. He is the wisest. He is the smartest. He is the wealthiest. All of the superlatives belong to him. So you'd think he would have come to earth to be applauded and exalted and admired. At the very least, served. But he came not to be served, but to serve. True greatness is found in true service. It is found in service to others. Jesus explained how he came to give his life a ransom for many. He who fills the very heights of heaven and has eternally took our place in the very depths of hell that he might spare us those torments. His was not a token gesture of goodwill that made no difference. His was work that made all the difference. He shed the holy blood, which has declared us righteous and free from guilt. He served us with his entire being. He gave up his very life. And in doing so, he rescued us from every sin, every trespass, every failure of ours, to show the type of dedicated service which he continues to show to us. And if you think that putting yourself in second place is the loser's way, take another look at Christ. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. There is nothing to lose in living a life of service to others. Quite the contrary. Those who serve as Christ did, motivated by love and inspired by his example, are on his winning team. Jesus didn't tell us who it is that will be sitting on that right hand and left hand side of his when he comes in his glory, but we know this. We know that those are going to be people whose earthly life was a life of faithful service to others. Those in first place are Christians who serve others with the assurances of the gospel, with encouragements, with support, with assistance. Yes, there's something to be said for second place, and Jesus said it all. He lived it all. He came not to be served, but to serve. And so he sends us forth not to be served, but to serve, to put ourselves under others that we might better support them. That's greatness of an eternal type. And so, in this second semester, true greatness will be illustrated in faithful service to others. Living life in second place doesn't mean we're among the losers, but among Christ's eternal winners. We sing of his servitude in hymn 556, stanzas 1 and 6. 556, 1 and 6. Dear Christians, one and all, rejoice with exaltation springing, and with united heart and voice and holy rapture singing, proclaim.
Christ our ransom cost him. The Son obeyed his Father's will, was born a virgin mother, and God's good pleasure to fulfill, he came to be my brother. His royal power disguised he bore, a servant's form like mine he wore, to lead the devil